So something that was once an idea, well, technically it's still an idea, but is now turning into something that I'm getting a lot of positive feedback around. When I think about employee one-on-ones, a dynamic that has been studied on, has been discussed, has been researched, people have admitted it. The issue where there's a power dynamic and a complexity from an employee to an employer that can't really be described. And what I mean by that is we can't put our finger on the reasons of why, because there's so many. It's very scientific. When a manager interacts with an employee, even if he or she is the best manager, the most empathetic manager, the most contextual with the communication styles, and they're just super aware and super nuanced, even those type of leaders, when they are speaking and working and directing those that work for them, there is that complexity between them that typically, not always, but typically the employee feels a level of fear, a level of uncomfortability, a level of desiring to always do what's right, a pressure a bit. There will always be, elements of that. And in some cases, if there's too many elements of that where they are a little bit fearful and they're not being as contextual, as honest, as nuanced, as deep about anything, frankly, within their role and in their experience within the org, that's data that the company's not getting, just objectively. That's data that cannot be used to get better as an organization, just objectively, and the organization should have that data. Now, the employees, on the other hand, they should want to give that data because that data will allow the company to create a better experience for them. So this could be financial data. Very practically speaking, I want to know, as a leader, how are you doing financially? We don't need to get into every little rabbit hole in detail, but let me know that you have a safe place here if you're not in good shape. And know that I will be very creative to figure out a way to help you, and know that will always be the case. Them knowing that at a very contextual level is important. Getting more into the organization, though, them knowing that they can be honest with me about being confused about something or not being sure about something or not wanting to do something or not lots of things, right? Like your employees should know that you will always have their back first until you prove that is not a good idea, which is not consistent. And so having conversations with your employees and understanding that data around, again, finance, communication, their happiness within the org, if they just genuinely believe they want to be retained, right? Like the biggest conversation I have is career mapping. I want to know when you're leaving, how long do you have, and where are you going professionally? Because I want to join the ride. Not any human that has ever worked for me will go to bat for me around this. I want to see where you're going to go in life because I want to be along for the ride, selfishly. If you're going to be someone that's cool, interesting, successful, if you're going to do some cool shit professionally, like be in some important places, I definitely want to know you because selfishly, I think I may get there too. And I'm big fans of Dame Dash. I'm big fans of Jay-Z. I'm big fans of Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm big fans of people that talk often about collaboration when it comes to business. Partnerships, independence when it comes to business. And that's the way I look at myself. That's the way I approach myself. I think my skills are very limited in certain areas. I think my skills are very wide in certain areas. So it behooves me to have a lot of great people around me, number one. Number two, on their part, it behooves me or behooves the brand, it behooves the employees, it behooves everyone to understand that that's the way I like to be led, that's the experience I like to have. So having said all of that, where I'm really going and what I'm trying to lead is the following. When you are interacting with your employees, trying to build that context, trying to build a relationship, when you're doing those things, there will always be that complexity. And because of that, you may not get the data you need. And because of that, you may suffer from retention issues, innovation issues, ideas, best practices. You may be not noticing and realizing that there's significant moments of people wanting to leave, lack of clarity. I mean, productivity can drop. It's not a good idea. And having said all that, having a third party, this is the punchline, guys. I know I took a while to get there. Having a third party do it, and when I say do it, this is what I mean. This is simple, practical. Having a third party that is a really dope person, like funny, charismatic, everyone loves he or she. They're real, though. They're honest. They're raw. They're not afraid about being direct. They're not afraid of having a spine, if you will. They understand people. They understand psychology and neuroscience. And they understand all the different complexities of not only a human, but the relatable. Empathy is second nature to them. These are the descriptions of who should be the third party human that comes into your org just to have one-on-one conversations forever and always. There's a slight rubric or a slight curriculum or a slight framework that they will follow. But at the end of the day, the punchline is the following. They will get data around how many employees will be retained, how many employees are thinking about leaving, why they're thinking about leaving, what they like about the organization, what they don't like, what they like about their leaders, what they don't like, what they like about the way their leader leads them, what they don't like, what they love about the organization from an innovation perspective, how they would like to be recognized and heard a little bit more for their part of the innovation that could be happening, what they don't like about DE&I within the organization, what they think the organization is doing a good job of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? That data is important. That information is vital. And so what I'm trying to wrap up and finally say, if you have a third party that has the conversations, that grows a legitimate friendship, deep professional friendship with your employees at a very humanistic level, a very deep trusted level, what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to extract the data that you need. And then it's my responsibility, if I'm the person doing this, to give that raw data to the executives. And I think the employees knowing that that raw data is being extracted, I think the executives knowing that that raw data is now being collected and that capability is now here, then I think both parties can recognize that there will probably be some change, meaning the executives are not just going to collect this data just to collect the data. They're going to do something about it. The experience as an employee is going to get better. The company as a whole, productivity-wise and retention-wise, is going to get better. So third party, guys, consider, and the E1B2 Collective may be rolling something out, but consider bringing in a third party just to do one-on-ones, just to build emotional glue, just to build context, just to build understanding, just to give you great data, data that you can utilize, smart data, thoughtful data, nuanced data, underrated data. It's a win for the employee first. Because what's most important to me is that every single employee has very clear mental health, very clear happiness, very clear mapping of their professional life. And knowing the organization has their back on that. And on the organization side, I want them to do well as well. I want them to have smart information. I want them to be able to utilize that information in a smart way. I want their, you know what? Something I haven't said before. I want leaders' lives to be good. There's this perception if you're a leader, if you're not stressing, then you're not working hard. And I think that may need to change because I think maybe the employees are wrong sometimes. Anyone ever talk about that? Anyone ever talk about how there are some employees that are assholes? And yes, this is the Mr. E1B2 guy. This is the Mr. Employee First guy. It is a thing that some employees are assholes and make the jobs of the leaders difficult. Like some employees, like I'm not a great employee. I'm not really great at any one skill, but I'll be the first to raise my hand and say, hey, I know kind of what I'm really good at. Put me in that pocket and step the fuck back. I'm okay saying that. I know some employees are not. And I know that some employees are just not good. Don't want to be good, don't work to be good, don't acknowledge that they're not good, or assholes, are not good people. Like, that's also a possibility. And so it's also the third party's job to get that type of data. So maybe there's some people you need to remove. Maybe some values are not aligned. And so the long story short of it is, think about, right there on that cusp, I think, before you hire your first head of people, typically we have like your operations manager, your COO, maybe your CFO, maybe a combination of the two. If you're a small company, 25, 30 people. Right when they are doing some of the like employee experience, like leadership stuff, and there's no real person that's super like taking it over, have them consider something like this. Right there at that point, it'll be super smart. That'll be a really solid check, and it'll be a really solid moment. So I feel good about this episode. I'm going to run it back, listen to it. Appreciate it, guys.